Welcome to episode 007 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Joining me this week, Jeff Smith and Everardo, and I won't bother to say his last name because I get it wrong every time. How's it going, guys?
I'm doing great.
Still got snow, right, Jeff?
No snow, but it's too cold to golf. It's just freezing out there.
Okay, we won't ask the other guy. First topic of the day, Big Break 4 finale. I've been watching all year, and TJ kind of horsed it around there, and Paul won, so Paul's in the finals. Thomas didn't play particularly well. Guy is moving on to the finals as well, so Guy versus Paul. I'm going to side with Paul, not because he's an American, but because he's never been flustered, never shown any weak parts of his game, and always been comfortably on to the next show. Everardo?
I'm saying Paul as well. I mean, not just because he's an American favorite, but yeah, he's been very consistent. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, which actually, I think TJ even brought it up, said works out as a great advantage to his game, and it's just cool to see him kind of turn around his life and get like maybe a second chance. So it'd be neat to see. I mean, Guy's young enough and he's got the talent. He'll make it one way or another.
And Jeff, we're gonna say you like Guy because you've never seen the show. So
yeah, that's right. He's awesome. He's doing great out there.
We get some controversy there. See, we disagree.
Jeff, you don't watch the show,
dude. I don't watch the show now.
Is it because there's no girls?
It's because he has no TV.
Well, that would ruin it, too. That
yeah, I'm Amish. I only believe in certain forms of technology.
And six fingers. Tiger Woods is... I can't make a segue there. But anyway, he's skipping the Mercedes Championship. You know, there's been some talk over, Phil hasn't gone since 2001 or something. And basically people are saying, Tiger Woods complains about the season being so long, and then he plays in all these events.
Yeah.
You know, what's the deal there?
Well, I think it kind of surprised me for a guy who's so concerned about shortening the season that he is so busy in the off season. So, I mean, that's why he's taking this year off, is because he was running. He played in several events in the off season.
Everardo?
I don't know. I think that would be kind of a fun event for him to go to. Just because it's the winner's tour and it's kind of looked a little prestigious. On a personal matter, I'm kind of pissed because I'm going to be there. I'm going to attend it and he's not even going to be there. So.
Maybe that's why he skipped.
Maybe.
You weren't that guy at the Phoenix tournament that had the gun in his fanny pack, right?
No.
Jeff, I think we've uncovered something.
Stalker.
But yeah, my first professional event to go watch and attend, and the man's not even going to be there. I'm kind of bummed. But then again, it is Maui, so can't
yeah, well,
too
you're,
much.
You're suffering through this kind of summer or winter you have, and then to go over to Hawaii, so I don't know.
Right. Don't feel bad for you. See, my take is that, the silly season events, the extra stuff that Tiger does, I don't blame him for playing that. That's a whole different beast, a whole different animal than the PGA Tour. It's not, he goes over to China, he's seeing the world, he's having fun, the competition isn't as stiff. It's not the PGA Tour, it's a whole different beast. So I don't find fault with him saying the PGA Tour itself needs to be a little shorter. Because, maybe he wants more time to do those fun things. He likes to play golf. So, yeah. I'm not really going to blame him for playing golf. The PGA Tour offseason is 2 months right now. Soon it'll be 3.5, 4. Maybe he wants more time to play in China or Thailand or whatever.
And the other thing is, people don't realize Tiger gets presidential treatment everywhere he goes. And so when he makes a trip to China, man, he is treated like a king. And so, yeah, it's a nice trip for he and his wife, to go play some golf and get treated as well as he does wherever he goes.
That's right. Quick question. Will Stuart Appleby three-peat at the Mercedes Championship?
No, he will not three-peat. I just a cursory look at the 2004-2005 stats for Appleby, and it's remarkable how he kind of fell behind.
See, now he said, quick answer. Everardo, your turn.
I say no.
Okay.
I'd love to see it, but no.
I wouldn't love to see it. He's boring. So there. Except for his
I
accent.
I like the guy.
Well, he's got an accent, but that's all he's got going for him.
That's why my wife loves him.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They like that accent.
Michael Campbell apparently likes Tiger Woods enough that he's going to try to mimic him by cutting down on his schedule and doing some other things similar to how Tiger Woods prepares for a tour season. What do you think of that?
Well, I tell you what, if you're going to copy one guy in golf, that sure as hell one good player to mimic. So I'm all for Campbell. I mean, he's kind of taking the approach of playing around the world, and he doesn't want to be just stuck on the PGA Tour. He said he wants to play globally. So Tiger's done that, and he's done it very well. So
Jeff?
Yeah, I think it's a good plan for Campbell. You know, it's going to pay off. It's paid off for a lot of guys like Phil and Tiger. So yeah, go for it.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Michael Campbell is no Tiger Woods, and copying him is possibly setting yourself up for failure. I think
you're just disagreeing for the sake.
You gotta follow your own plan. You know, Phil Mickelson changed his plan. He didn't copy Tiger Woods, but he found the plan that worked for him. You know, and it's paid off the past 2 years. He has two majors. I don't know that. I mean, Michael Campbell never won a major doing it. I mean, he's won his only major doing it his way. I don't know if changing is gonna bring him a whole lot of.
Well, Campbell said that after changing his routine and his coaches and the people around him, that this is what actually brought him the success of the U.S. Open and other events that he's placed high in. So maybe change for this guy is a great thing that he needs.
Maybe, yeah, kicking the ass is a good thing, too. I don't know.
Hey, sometimes that'll help, too.
There you go. Fantasy leagues. We had one going last year, the ESPN one. Are you going to join any fantasy leagues here this year? And which ones do you think are the best?
I've never done one before. My brother's been huge into fantasy football leagues and things like that, and he actually makes pretty good money off of it. I'd like to try one, and it looks from the looks of it, the one on the PGA Tour website, that one looks like it might be one that I would look into and give a try. I've never done one before, so I'm kind of hesitant to spend.
If you win,
bucks.
Do you get to take Tim Fincham's job, or is there
maybe
some other prize?
I don't know if I'd want it though. No, you win a VIP trip to the 2007 Players Championship.
So. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the Birdie Fest. I didn't mind it last year. It was kind of fun. You know, you were pulling for whatever hacks you picked that week to make some birdies. So I didn't mind it. Basically, I'm just a sheep on this one. I'm going to follow whatever the sand trap ends up doing.
Bah.
Exactly.
Oh boy. So anyway, Jeff, you got some. You were playing some 804s, right? The Titleist 804s, and you just got, we set you up with some 690 cavity backs, right?
Yeah, I did.
So a while ago, I remembered I'd asked a question about whether you play clubs that are better than you. You know, you're, whatever, say, we'll say 22 handicap or 20 handicap or bogey golfer. You picked out the 804s thinking those were more your speed, but yet you enjoyed playing with the 690s, and those are, you could say they're slightly, you know, a better player's club, perhaps. What,
yeah,
you
know, well, I picked out the 804s originally, and, you know, I enjoyed playing them. I didn't know any different when I first started, you know, and so I got the regular shafts and the 804s, but after receiving the 690.CBs, I took them out, and, you know, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, and, you know, there's kind of a line of demarcation there. I mean, should you play a club that's way better than you. I mean, there's no way that I'm going to benefit, or a lot of guys are going to benefit by playing a butter knife, you know. But this 690 is also, I mean, it's forgiving enough to help you. But it also gives you enough feedback to really help. I mean, I can see this club is going to help me this coming season. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to hit. You know,
was it a big adjustment for you, Jeff? Or?
Nah, it wasn't much of an adjustment at all. I mean, I was kind of, you know, Eric knows this. I was a little nervous. Oh, no, I'm going to be playing a player's club, and what's going to happen? Well, I got it. And the 690 really doesn't have an extremely thin top line. So there's a lot of clubs that are considered player's clubs out there that would benefit guys like me. I think I'm going to improve by playing them just for the feedback and the feel of the club head getting through the grass. I could just, for some reason, maybe it's the shaft itself, I could feel that club head more too. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I learned on musclebacks, you know, old McGregor, Jack Nicklaus, you know, forged musclebacks. And, you know, I didn't know any better when I first got them. But I think, you know, I credit them with putting my game to the level it is now as far as being a good ball striker. Because, I mean, you just have a miserable day. You might score okay, but you have a miserable day if you don't hit the ball well with a muscleback, especially the old ones, because you just feel like crap all day long. You know, shivers up your arms and ugh. You know, I've always long believed in playing irons, you know, especially when you're looking to improve, that are slightly better than you. You know, if I were sitting here playing with Ping Zings or something, you know, I don't know that it ever progressed past the level at which I need all the help that they provide. So I think you'll do, I think they'll help you out, especially with the stiff shafts that you certainly need in there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm thinking I need to hit the ball crisply with the 804s. It was kind of like, well, just give it a whack. You know, with these, I'm thinking more of the process to get to the ball and hitting down on it and so on. So I think that'll help, too.
All right. Everett, what did you learn on?
My first set was a set of Ping G2s.
Yeah, okay.
And I actually had pretty decent luck with them. But the thing that I have is, you know, I play golf by myself a lot, and I don't have very good vision. So I noticed with the G2s, no matter how I hit the ball, it all felt the same. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I couldn't tell if I hit it right, left, high, low.
What are you using? Not that I was.
Now I've got a set of Mizunos. I have the Cut Muscle, the MP32s, yeah, from like my 7 iron up, and then my 4, 5, and 6 irons are the MP30s.
Okay.
And the thing I love about them is, I mean, they're forgiving enough still, but I can tell immediately, you know, how I hit the ball. And
they're
that's
more
just
forgiving
huge
than your wife when she finds out that you bought an iPod for her, but it's really for you.
For her, maybe, with the air quotes, for her.
I told you I'd worked it in there somewhere.
I knew you would.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's us again, the folks from GolfGods.com. If you've put off buying your holiday golf gifts, it's not too late. For a limited time, GolfGods.com will give you free second-day air shipping on orders over $100. Here's how it works. When checking out, use the coupon code TODAY, that's T-W-O-D-A-Y, and select UPS second-day air. It's as simple as that. There's plenty of great deals to be had, so check out GolfGods.com, the official online pro shop of TheSandTrap.com. Offer expires December 20th at 3 p.m. Some restrictions apply.
Well, we have no Golf WRX segment this week. Easy must be sleeping through this one. So we'll move right on to the site recap. Really one article we want to point out this week. Cody veered from his normal discussion of the PGA Tour in his Thrash Talk article, but he talks about some of the negatives in golf. Number one, groups not letting singles play through. Not too much of a problem where I play, you know, country club, but still, you know, everyone kind of respects each other. Do you guys find that that's a problem quite a bit, or?
It's definitely a problem where I'm at, you know. I mean, invariably, if it's a busy summer day, you know that you're going to be stuck behind some hack or two, some wearing combat boots, you know. So it's
I've run into that problem a lot, and it's kind of annoying. I mean, the most annoying part of it is when they look at you saying, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to get ahead of you, and then I'm going to get ahead of the next group as possible.
Unfortunately, my course, you know, kind of doubles back on itself many times, so you can usually skip around and do okay. Drinking and smoking, I don't do either. I don't really care if other people do, so long as it's not out of control or, you know, basically in my face. I don't care for smoke, and I don't care for bad behavior that booze sometimes bring on.
I don't see that a lot. I don't see drinking and smoking tons, except for the occasional cigar.
Well, I've smoked cigars, and I don't want to say it's a complete blame on alcohol. If you're an asshole to begin with and you start drinking, you're just an asshole still. So I don't think that...
You're a bigger
that,
asshole.
Right.
It intensifies your personality.
Exactly. So if you're a calm, dumb-witted person, when you drink, it's just going to get even worse. So the only time I've ever drank on the course is if I'm having a really bad day. Otherwise, even cigars, I love to smoke cigars on the course, but I find it more distracting because you always have to find a place to rest it or put it. You know, I don't want to put newly fertilized grass or anything and
it's
have that in
you.
My mouth.
Kills germs.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Kills
right?
germs.
But I enjoy it, and all I say is clean up after yourself.
Number three on the list is cheating. I might cut that out. Who knows? But cheating, that's not something I need to cut out because I don't do it. But I see it often enough. A kid on the golf team... I was assistant coach of a golf team. Some of the members reported one of our kids for cheating. And, you know, I was all ready to kick him off the team, but we kept him on. But he didn't really play a whole lot the rest of the year. So, big issue.
Was it cheating or just ignorance of the rules?
Cheating.
All right.
When you pick a ball out of a bunker and toss it under the fringe, that's...
that's
cheating. That's better than ignorance.
Right.
If it is ignorance, it's ignorance that he didn't think people would see him.
Right.
Cheating a big problem. Not only cheating other people, but cheating yourself. You know, I mean, I see a lot of people roll the ball. That's great if they're having fun or whatever, but, I'm not there to say that they're cheating themselves or whatever because, you know, maybe they just want to have fun. But I do see people, you know, breaking the rules a lot.
Where I see it more is when people post scores into the computers and they're not using equitable stroke control. So they're inflating their handicap, and that's what pisses me off more is that people... Because we have signs next to the computer explaining equitable stroke control, and we've had even a clinic in our men's club explaining it, and people still don't do it. And to me, that's just flat-out annoying.
I don't know that we have too much of a problem at our club, but I've heard, you know, certainly that sandbagging is an issue at many clubs, but that's whether or not equitable throw control is something that is easily understood is probably a topic for another day, so maybe we'll bring that up again. Buzzing through some of the last ones on Cody's list, cost. Golf is expensive.
It's just one of those sports that is expensive, and you know that going into it, and just account for it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap where you guys are at right now, right?
Me?
How do I kick him off?
It's really cheap.
You can play all you want. Snowshoes, they're expensive. Good ones, $200 a pair.
That's right.
Cell phones. I carry one, but I don't call anyone, and the only people that really have my cell phone number are the people that might need to get a hold of me in an emergency, or my wife to ask me what's taking so long. And the people I play with don't really mind so much, but I certainly never have in a tournament or whatever. How about you guys?
Oh, I think the only time that a cell phone would be annoying to me is when it starts interrupting play. I mean, if somebody wants to talk on the phone between a hole or something occasionally, that's fine, as long as it's not glued to their ear.
Yeah.
I say leave it alone. I mean, we've lived before them. We can live without them for 2-3 hours or however long it takes you to play your round. So I don't care.
2-3 hours. All right. Slow play. Speaking of slow play, I mean, most of the guys I play with, we play together because we all know that we're fast. And, you know, if we found someone that was slow and couldn't be sped up, we probably would stop playing with them. So slow play is not an issue with me because, you know, I don't play with people that play slowly. But, you know, they're certainly known at my club.
I got a golf buddy that we play a lot together, and he's a great guy. We hang out a lot together, and he's a very good friend, but he plays slow. The amount of waggles that he takes is kind of annoying, and the practice swings that he has to take every single time. Maybe I rush too much, but, yeah, that's kind of annoying.
Well, I think that, you know, that's part of maturing in the game. I know that I was really slow, and I wasn't confident over the ball. I've made a real point of speeding my game up, and that's something, you know, we need to work at as golfers.
So, let's move on to our listener or forum topic. This one comes from our forum. All of us own Scotty Cameron putters, and there was a Golf Digest article where Scotty Cameron gives a quick little interview. In that interview, he says, "Is the $5 putter basically putted as well as, you know, my $275 putter?" Here it is. "Because if a $5 putter you grab out of a barrel performs better than a putter that costs $275, we both know which one you'll pick." And that's true, and a lot of people will ask the question, you know, are Scotty Cameron putters worth the extra $100? I've answered that question, but I'm going to let you two take this one. So, what do you think?
I own 5 of them right now, and I say yes.
Why?
Well, I guess I look at it this way. You take half of the amount of strokes, if not more, sometimes with your putter. Uh-huh. That's got to be the most important club to me. You know, for a driver, yeah, I've spent $500 on a driver, but I only use it maybe 10 times around. Or a putter you're going to use.
Well, the counter argument being that there isn't a whole lot of engineering necessarily in a putter. It's, you know, it's not hollow, it's not titanium, it doesn't have adjustable weights. Well, some of them, you know, I mean, a putter looks pretty simple to people. So a $200 putter versus a $300 putter that looks almost the same, you'd think they should perform about the same.
You'd think so, but then you start looking at materials. You know, there are going to be some differences between one version of steel versus another.
Fair enough.
The plating. Plus, I just, for me personally, if I'm going to spend that much money on it, that means I have more confidence in it and, you know, in one place in my game where I need it.
I got a $1,000 putter I can sell you then.
Yeah.
You'll be super confident.
Absolutely.
Jeff?
I love how they look. I love. I own a Newport 2, and, you know, I love the look of it. It has a tremendous amount of feel. I also play with a bigger mallet putter. I really like the name and the look of my Scotty.
I think there's a tradition there, too, between... even though it's recent, you know, the good players playing with Scotty Cameron's, or, you know, Odyssey being the other big ones up there. So basically my answer has always been, if it's worth it to you, it's worth it to you. So that's it. You know, something you have to decide for yourself. I do have one other question for you, though, Everardo. Were those putters also gifts for your wife, or?
Actually, one of them I am going to send to the custom department.
We're moving on to our beating balls segment.
We're going to give it to her.
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure. Quick questions now. Beating balls. What would you like under your Christmas tree?
Oh, man. I need some new driver wood shafts, that kind of thing. That's what I'm looking for. Also, a hybrid or two would be nice.
Okay. And Everardo.
Paula Kramer.
Well, at least you didn't say Michelle Wee, given, you know, the whole age thing, but...
No.
See, now that would be another question. Is Paula Creamer the present for your wife, quote, quote?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
A friend.
Right.
I can't believe that you'd imply.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I wouldn't want to be selfish.
Right.
Would you ever expect to find a one iron under your Christmas tree? Have you ever hit a one iron? Have you ever seen a one iron?
I've never seen one.
I don't even think I've seen one. I'm hitting one. I don't need that. No, I just said I want a hybrid, not a butter knife.
Fair enough. I've both seen and hit one, and happened to go pretty well. It's fun. You gotta get some speed on it, otherwise it kind of doesn't go too far. Rolls well, but
right.
You know, I mean, it's basically a putter with a little longer shaft.
No manufacturers actually make them anymore, right?
I mean, I see
a lot of
two
irons.
Custom made. You know, you can get them custom, but yeah, most don't. Two irons are about as low as they go these days. So Goosen, he made a comment recently that he's just like Ben Hogan because he doesn't talk too much.
Yeah, he says you can't please everyone, but you know what? They used to say the same about Ben Hogan. I don't know. I think, you know, I think that's a fair comment. He's a quiet guy like Hogan was. I don't know that he was comparing himself to Hogan's game necessarily. I mean, there's no doubt that Goosen's an awesome player.
Yep. Plus Hogan got struck by a car and or a bus, and Goosen got struck by lightning. So, you know, maybe there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Well, we'll leave Goosen alone because he's a decent fellow. Now, some quick questions here. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in 2005. And will they have a better year in 2006? There, we'll make that question. Yes, no.
Jeff, Tiger, you take Woods. Honors?
Yeah, I'll take honors. Tiger Woods is going to have a comparable year to the year that he had in 2005.
Okay. And Phil?
Phil Mickelson. You know, I'm going to say that he's going to have not as good a year.
Okay. That's I'm agreeing with both years, but we'll see what Everardo says.
I'll say Tiger has a better year, and I'll say that Phil... I'll go with better year for Phil.
Okay. That's going to be tough. If we're just looking at majors, Tiger's going to win 3, according to you, and Phil's going to win 2, so... There we go. Well, I guess Phil can win the players. That's close enough, right?
Yeah, that qualifies as a major.
Yeah, okay.
Or not.
So, yeah, some people are... confused about the 2007 schedule and not starting this year. We talked about in a previous podcast how the LPGA Tour is actually moving to a playoff system in 2006 for their year-end event. Given that you've had a little more time to think about that, do you think that's going to be a success or not? Have you changed your minds?
Man, there's a lot to be said. I mean, there's a lot of waiting to do there. I think... you know, I think it's going to benefit. I think it's going to be a good thing. I mean, all the players have been calling for a shorter year. It'll give a little bang for the buck at the end of the season. We're still going to be able to enjoy, you know, the drama of Q School. It's going to add some more drama at the end of the year. I think people will follow it. People are going to be pleasantly surprised by this new format.
All right.
For both the men and the women?
For both the men and the women, yes.
I think for viewership it'll help, but I think the players on the LPGA Tour are a little bit pissed off about how the payout works. Whereas in the PGA Tour, it looks like the payout's going to be a little bit... they haven't given a whole lot of details on it.
They're saying $10 million, you know, for all best guesses. Did the LPGA create a buzz in 2005?
Yeah, definitely.
I say yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, some new outstanding players in the field, so yes.
I'm going to say yes, but only among golf fans. I don't know that it really reached out to, you know, expand the reach, basically, of the LPGA Tour. I don't know that, I mean, sure, my wife may know who Michelle Wee is, but it doesn't mean she tuned into any extra LPGA events to watch her or anything, so.
Okay, well, how about this for you guys? With women's soccer, you know, starting back in like 1999 when they won the World Cup and then going on to the Olympics. I mean, they created a huge phenomenon with women's soccer. I mean, selling out the Rose Bowl, selling out Giant Stadium with all the World Cup games. Do you think that'll ever happen with golf? I mean, they just brought soccer to the masses.
I don't think so because golf is already at a higher level. Soccer made it, you know, a leap from, say, 3 to 8. If golf's already at a 6, it doesn't have as far to go. I don't think that's possible. I mean, women's soccer was nowhere. I mean, it was zero almost. So,
Jeff.
I don't know. I'm not so sure that it can be improved on much more. I don't think you're going to see that kind of a phenomenon. You had a team sport there in soccer, and it was a huge mountaintop experience. I think you're going to see a real buzz surrounding people like Paula Creamer and Michelle Wee, and still Annika Sorenstam, and maybe Natalie Gulbis if she can win. But you know, I don't think you're going to see that. That was a team sport and a unique phenomenon there.
I'm telling you, if she doesn't win this year, I think Butch Harmon's going to put out a contract on Natalie's dad. But we shall see. 2006 is coming up. We got one more podcast after this. We've just basically completed episode 007 of the Sandtrap podcast. Obviously brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Visit us online at thesandtrap.com. You should probably be figuring that out by now. Or check out our forums at thesandtrap.com/forum. Thanks. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. That's where you guys could say something fun, like hit them straight or something, as a way of signing off.
For my wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
And a happy Kwanzaa.
And a happy Boxing Day.